You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Disabled users of the Motability Scheme have been concerned about inaccurate reporting about the charity by some parts of the UK media and the backlash against the disabled community on social media. The worries have been further compounded by the Chancellor's autumn budget, which has laid out plans that will lead to extra costs they may have to face to use the Lifeline Scheme. Joining me now to discuss the story is Alan Russell. Alan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much, David.
So first of all, for those who don't know, what is the Motability Scheme and how does it work?
Well, the scheme itself helps people who are disabled, who receive personal independence payment, or in Scotland, adult disability payment, and within that you receive the high rate of the immobility component. So Motability themselves can provide powered wheelchairs, powered scooters and cars and adapted vehicles to help people with independence for getting around and so on. What you do is you go to the scheme and say you want a car. You can get a car which may have no upfront deposit, and you use your mobility component to pay the lease each month. Some cars are more expensive, so you have to pay what's called an advance payment that comes out of your pocket depending on the vehicle that you're looking at. But that lease also covers the car for 3 years. It covers insurance, things like servicing, MOTs, repairs, breakdown cover, and some tyres in there as well. So you don't actually own the vehicle. Motability buy the vehicles themselves, and you then lease that vehicle for 3 years. You have to keep to a certain mileage, you have to keep the car in a certain condition, and at the end of that lease, you then hand the vehicle back. Motability then resell that car, public auctions, garages, to make some money back from there as well. I think they're one of the largest fleet car operators in the world. You know, lots of vehicles there, but you know, we don't forget about the powered wheelchairs, powered scooters. So people with physical disabilities, people with hidden disabilities as well. There's a whole range of people who can use the scheme. You are the driver of the vehicle, or if you're unable to drive, you can then nominate people to drive for you, but the car has to be used for your benefit. So it could be, you know, going shopping, going to hospital appointments, or you know, just for social events as well, or going to work. I think it's important to remind people that individuals on personal independence payment or adult disability payment, many of those people do actually work. They're not out of work benefits as such. They're there to help with the extra costs of having a disability, and people can choose to use that money to use the Motability Scheme. If they don't use the money, then you know they can use that money in other ways as well.
Just to clear up something, is there a difference between having a blue badge and using the Motability Scheme?
Yeah, there's a lot of kind of misunderstandings out there, especially within members of the public as well, as to the differences. So you apply to your local council for a blue badge. That allows you to park in disabled spaces. It allows you to park in places where perhaps you'd normally have to pay for parking or permit parking. It can, I suppose, actually we should also mention that around the UK there are some differences. So for instance, in Scotland you can use the blue badge to park, you know, 24/7. In England you would receive a clock with your blue badge, so you have to set that clock when you park your vehicle, and you may only have a certain time that you can park the car for, then you may have to move it again. It can help allow you to avoid congestion charges. It can help you use toll roads or bridges free of charge as well. So it's very versatile. You do not have to have a Motability vehicle to have a blue badge. For instance, someone who is blind or partially sighted can access the Motability Scheme if they're on that high mobility component of those payments. They can also have a blue badge. They can't drive a car, but they may have it in their Motability vehicle if they have one. They may have it in a relative's vehicle, or they may lease or own a car of their own. So the badge itself is very flexible. So if you see a vehicle with a blue badge, don't automatically assume that's a Motability vehicle, because it's really not the case.
Now, moving on to some of the coverage in the media, why are disabled people upset about some of the press reporting being inaccurate about the scheme and the backlash from certain parts of social media?
Yeah, probably over the past, I've noticed this over the past maybe 6 months, certain newspapers, which we're not going to name at the moment, you can find them on social media if you like, have been putting out a lot of stories. Obviously, there's a cost of living problem at the moment. You know, we've had the autumn budget problems, you know, people not happy with tax, with fuel bills and so on, and rightly so as well. But there seems to have been a bit of a campaign looking at the motability scheme. And some of the papers are making out that motability buys a vehicle and just gives it to disabled people, and they can get Mercedes-Benz and Land Rovers and Range Rovers and Jaguars, which I've seen as well, which is completely wrong. Yes, Mercedes-Benz and BMW were in there. They've now been removed from the scheme. We can get into that a bit later. But, you know, saying that people are getting Land Rovers, Range Rovers, Jaguars, and which is completely inaccurate. That's not true at all. And saying, you know, we're paying for this, you know, why are we paying for disabled people to drive around in luxury cars? Motability is funded by the Motability Foundation. So there's no direct payments from the public in there. Yes, the public pay taxes which go towards PIP and adult disability payment. But again, you know, a lot of people on those benefits work as well. So whether people use Motability or not wouldn't make a difference. And unfortunately, some of the newspapers have been making out that, you know, disabled people are really creaming it here and abusing the system. And there is some abuse in the system. As with everything, there are people who use it badly and wrongly. But on the whole, the motability scheme is a lifeline. The backlash that I've seen, and many others have seen on social media, you know, people saying that disabled people should go back to having these little plastic cars, three-wheelers they had back in the day. They should only have tiny little cars. You know, they don't seem to think, well, if someone has a power wheelchair, a power scooter, or, you know, something like, or wheelchairs in general, they need bigger vehicles to do that. They may have families. There's a lot of, I don't want to use the word hatred, but a lot of venom towards people. You know, they should be in cars which are labelled up saying these people are disabled and this is a motability vehicle. They should only have little second-hand cars. You know, they shouldn't be driving all these other vehicles. It really has been quite upsetting for a lot of people, you know, and if they feel a bit targeted and saying they see all these high-end vehicles. In fact, there was a chap had his car photographed. I'm going to highlight two, actually, in a car park with a blue badge. One was an Aston Martin, one was a Lamborghini. And some of the papers jumped on and went, look, disabled driving, motability. But as it turned out, as I said, with the blue badges, yes, the blue badges, the vehicles were theirs because these guys were high-flying tech guys. Although they were, one guy, I think, had was an amputee. I think both were amputees, both used wheelchairs. A lot of inaccurate reporting causing a lot of people to hit back at why are we paying for disabled people to have all these luxury vehicles, which in essence is not true. And if we want to talk about luxury vehicles, we heard some vehicles have now been removed from the motability scheme because of costs possibly related to the Chancellor's budget. We'll get into that later. But, you know, if I went on motability and I wanted a Mercedes, I'd have to pay, you know, maybe £5,000-6,000 up front of my own money to lease that car for 3 years, as anyone else can do if they have the funds to do it. They could buy, you know, get themselves a nicer car. And motability selling those cars, you know, they're buying a lot of brand new cars, great for the economy. They're putting a lot of nice cars back into the secondhand market. That's kind of going to disappear as well. That backlash was really picking up on a lot of bad vibes, and some of that came from that inaccurate reporting as well. So people were feeling a bit targeted, to put it in a nutshell.
Now, you've already touched on it a little bit. Certain brands of cars have been removed now from the list following the Chancellor's autumn budget. It's caused a bit of worry around about affordability. Can you bring us up to speed on that, please?
Certain cars have been removed from the scheme. You know, I'm sure David will give the website later for Motability. You can check that out. Down to statements in the Chancellor's budget, although people thought, are they getting rid of these cars because of public pressure? If we were to highlight, you know, they're saying Mercedes-Benz, say it's a luxury car. And there was a Mercedes, if we looked at an SUV, the GLA used to be on the motability scheme. For some people who can't bend down to get into low vehicles, they have to have SUVs. So that Mercedes GLA was on the motability scheme. If you look to buy that vehicle, the one that's highlighted was £36,000. If you want to buy the Ford Cougar, which was highlighted beside that in the press, which is classed as a non-luxury car, it was £41,000. Well, define luxury. That's just an example there. The Chancellor's budget has removed VAT relief, which Motability would get when they bought a vehicle. So they would save money on the VAT for buying that vehicle. And that saving was then passed on to the Motability user. So they could go and get the car, pay the AP, the advance payment if they wanted to, and use the scheme. With that VAT taken away now, that exemption removed, it looks like there'll probably be perhaps a 20% increase to those advance payments. And if you think of electric vehicles that the government wants us to go to, if you look at Motability now, you may be looking at £6,000, £7,000, £8,000 advance payments. So if I'm going to get an electric vehicle that's, say, £8,000, bang, add another £1,600 onto that, and I don't get that back, you know, that's 3 years, that's gone. So you can see the issues that people are facing there. And if they need a bigger car for certain reasons, they're going to be paying that extra cash. They're also concerned that the mileage allowance may be dropped as well. At the moment, you can get 20,000 miles a year free on a Motability vehicle. After that, you pay per mile, but that could be dropped. They're also worried about the VAT being removed on the insurance, the exemptions on the insurance there as well, which could perhaps boost that to the cost they'll have to pay. And there's just a lot of worry about how they could afford this. We're not quite sure what the cost implications will be exactly at the moment. It's still early, we've not long had that announcement, but there is a lot of worry about affordability.
Now, we did approach the Motability Foundation to take part in this interview, and they sent us the following statement.
Today, we're setting out what the budget announcement means for the Motability scheme and the people who rely on it. While there will be changes to how the scheme operates, our commitment to disabled people remains steadfast. We are focused on keeping the scheme as affordable as possible, continuing to support access to employment, education, and everyday life, and working closely with Motability Operations to ensure the scheme remains a cornerstone of independence for disabled people, just as it has been for nearly 50 years. A more sustainable scheme. The scheme has been impacted by many external influences in recent years, such as rising costs, fluctuating second-hand car pricing, and the large-scale introduction of EVs. Today, the government has confirmed that VAT will apply to advance payments and insurance premium tax will apply to scheme leases, which will take effect from July 2026. These tax changes will mean the scheme will become more expensive for disabled people, but will remain sustainable with a choice of affordable vehicles. Evolution. As confirmed earlier this week, premium brand vehicles have been removed from the scheme. The scheme will focus on vehicles that meet disabled people's needs and represent value and purpose, while still harnessing competition between manufacturers to get good value. We recognise that any increase in the cost of a lease could have a significant effect on disabled people's independence and daily life. To minimise price increases for customers taking out a new lease, the scheme is considering a range of other changes across the leasing package, including mileage, overseas breakdown cover, increased use of telematics for insurance purposes, and other services. Details will be confirmed only when the impact to disabled people has been fully assessed. The tax changes will increase the cost of a lease on the scheme, and we anticipate the average advance payment or upfront cost of a vehicle will increase by around £400 over the 3-year package. We will continue to provide a range of around 40 to 50 vehicles available to lease with no upfront payment. Changes to the scheme's package are expected to be introduced from July 2026. Motability Operations, which runs the scheme, will begin engaging with customers about the proposed changes in spring 2026. Proposed changes to the leasing package will undergo disability impact assessment by the Motability Foundation, which oversees the scheme, before any changes are approved, announced, and implemented. As the scheme evolves, and we fully understand the impacts changes may have on disabled people, the Foundation will also need to consider how its grant programmes best support those most in need. To more strongly combat the issue of misuse, the Motability scheme is creating a new Special Investigations Unit. While the overall rate of misuse has remained stable, and the vast majority of customers use their vehicles in a way that they are intended, the growth in customer numbers means more cases are being investigated. There are now around 80 people who are dedicated to tackling misuse of scheme vehicles who join the newly formed unit. Motability Operations also plans to strengthen data sharing arrangements with government and police agencies to enable quicker, more effective action where misuse is identified. Commitment to disabled people. While some change is necessary to ensure future longevity, the Motability scheme remains committed to our core purpose, providing motability to disabled people, many of whom have no choice but to use private transport because of inaccessible public transport and infrastructure across the UK. The Motability scheme commits to No changes for customers in current leases. Changes to the scheme would relate to new leases. Continuing to provide a range of around 40 to 50 vehicles available to lease with no advance payment. Motability Foundation and Motability Operations will continue to subsidise and provide grant funding for the ongoing provision of wheelchair accessible vehicles, while also funding adaptations to support over 82,000 customers with essential mobility solutions. Motability Foundation will continue to provide grants to support people with the most profound needs to access the scheme, having awarded $59.3 million in 2024 and 2025 to help over 10,000 customers benefit from essential mobility solutions. Nigel Fletcher, Chief Executive of the Motability Foundation, said, "We understand the challenges disabled people face in accessing reliable and accessible transport and how important a motability car is to scheme customers. The changes to tax reliefs imposed on the scheme in today's budget statement mean the scheme will need to evolve. We are working hard to minimise price increases for customers and are taking steps to assess the impact of potential changes to the leasing package. Our focus remains firmly on protecting the scheme for those who need it most." Andrew Miller, Chief Executive of Motability Operations, said, "An evolved motability scheme will continue to put the disabled people we serve at the heart of everything we do. Changes to evolve the scheme will involve understanding what matters most to disabled people, working closely with Motability Foundation."
And for more details on the scheme and the changes that have been outlined, you can head to motability.co.uk. Alan Russell, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, David.